Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It's Thursday, July 21st, and it's a beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I want to talk today about this question: how do we live in a Romans 1 world, in a Romans 1 society? How is a Christian supposed to live when things are getting increasingly dark and wicked? As I think about our times, I am continually drawn back to the prophet Isaiah, as he said this in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink." Now watch this, Isaiah 5:23, "who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." That so describes our society today in America. And when it says, "woe to those who call evil good and good evil," one translation says, "how horrible it will be for those who call evil good and good evil." What's a Romans 1 society? Well, when you read in Romans chapter 1, you read that the people in Romans 1, they reject God. And God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress, who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Boy, we're doing that today in America, aren't we? We're suppressing the truth. We don't let the truth get out. We have the propaganda machines from the tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, things like that. Oh, if you don't espouse the right viewpoint on COVID or the government or whatever it might be, we're going to shut you down. We're going to deplatform you. We're going to take you off. We're going to censor you. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth. The people at the CDC know the truth about COVID. They're not sharing the truth about COVID, but they know the truth. They purposely misrepresent the truth. They purposely suppress the truth and share a lie. So it says that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against those that do that. Why? Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Now, the truth, Romans 1:18, that the scripture is talking about, is they suppress the truth about God. And we don't like, as a society, we don't like the God of the Bible. Remember, God is not who you want him to be. He is who he is. Remember what he said to Moses at the burning bush? "I am who I am." That's the name of God, but that also tells us God is the great I am. He is who he is. You can't make God into the God of your imagination. God is who he is. And because that which is known about God is evident within them, God gives everyone a conscience, and then God made it evident to them. God shows us through creation that he is God. We know, if you have any sense at all, you know if there's a creation, there has to be a creator. And that's what it goes on to say. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Nobody is ever going to say to God, "Well, I'm innocent because of ignorance." No, you're not. You are without excuse. "For even though they knew God," now, knew God not from the standpoint of had a personal relationship with him, but they knew about God. "Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Oh, that so describes our society today. We have these elites in universities who think they're so smart, think they're so wise. The lady from some kind of legal professor at some university as she was talking to Senator Hawley, and she was upset because she thought his comments were very transphobic. And she asked the question, she actually asked the question, I know you've probably heard this, do you believe men can get pregnant? And he said, no. And she said, well, there you go. You're transphobic. You don't believe in trans people. Well, how ridiculous is that? Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's like saying, do you believe that 2 + 2 = 5? You say, no. Well, you're a math phobe. You're obviously a math phobe, a bigoted math phobe, because 2 + 2 can = 5. No, it 2 + 2 can't = 5. 2 + 2 = 4. Doesn't = 3. Doesn't = 5. Doesn't = 4.1. Doesn't = 3.9. It = 4. It = 4. And men can't get pregnant. And there is no such thing as a person who transitions from XX female to XY male, from XY male to XX female. You can do all you want to carve up your body, but you want to become, as a man, a biological man, you want to become a woman, you have to get every cell replaced in your body. Go in for a cell transplant because God made you male or female, XX or XY, and that's all there is. So professing to be wise, they became fools. We live in a day and age of educated fools. And it says they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Hey, we don't want to worship God, the incorruptible God, but we're going to worship corruptible man. And then when we move on from corruptible man, then it's going to be birds. And you know, birds are, so man is the top of the heap, and then birds, well, they're beautiful, they're majestic, they soar, and then, but then it goes to four-footed animals, okay, we've taken a step down, and then it goes to crawling creatures. It's like the Egyptians, they worship the scarab, you know, that little beetle. You know what that beetle is? It's a dung beetle. You look that up on Google, do a YouTube search about the dung beetle. I mean, it is as low as you get. Those things, they're called the dung beetle because they live in the dung, they eat dung, they're just covered in dung. They're awful creatures, and the Egyptians worship them. So what does God do when we reject him and suppress the truth and unrighteousness? Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their heart. In the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So God gave them over because the people became spiritually perverted. They didn't give God honor. They didn't give him thanks. So God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts. And then because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, God gave them over to degrading passions. You have spiritual perversion, then you have sexual perversion. First of all, lust is just running rampant, and then you have the sexual perversion turns into homosexuality. It says, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. I think I learned this from John Piper. He said it's such a picture because in the spiritual relationship, a man rejects God, a society rejects God, and I'm not going to worship that which is normal and natural because, hey, God made it very obvious to us that he is the creator and we are the creation and the creation needs to worship the creator. But when we reject that, then what do we see on the physical realm? We see a man rejecting the natural function, which is a desire for the opposite sex, and he goes for the same sex. A woman rejects the natural function, which is a desire for the opposite sex, and she goes for the same sex. And so it's a picture, a visible picture of the invisible spiritual picture of the vertical relationship that we reject. So we see it played out on the horizontal relationship. And then it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So, and he lists all sorts of things. What are the things that are not proper? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Man. And we go on. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. I mean, it lists all these things. So society, this is what we have in a Romans 1 society. It's spiritually perverted. It's sexually perverted. It's socially perverted. How does that happen? We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We don't like the God of the Bible. We don't like his will, his word, his ways. We say no to God. I don't want you, God. I want to do it my own way. And that's where we end up. God gives you over. God says, okay, you don't want me. You don't want to honor me as God or give thanks. Okay, well, I'll just give you over to your own devices. And you are going to reap what you have sown. That's the situation that we're finding ourselves in today. Now, there's some good news as a Christian living in this Romans 1 society. As we look for good news and we look for things to praise the Lord about, what is good about being in a post-Christian culture? Well, cultural Christianity has pretty much gone away. You know, when I grew up, it was kind of the norm in the culture, especially in a town like Texarkana, Texas, or Texarkana, Arkansas, to be attached to a church, to be a member of a church, to go to church on Sunday. Well, you just did it out of duty. You did it out of, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm going to be looked down upon in the community if I'm not attached to some church. Well, that was a generation ago. That was 30, 40 years ago. People really felt like that. They don't feel like that today. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Cultural Christianity is the enemy of true Christianity. Why is that? Well, because if everybody's a Christian, nobody's a Christian. Jesus said there's the narrow road and there's the broad road. Many travel on the broad road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. Few find the narrow road. And so if you have a society or a town where everyone, quote, says, well, I'm a Christian because I'm an American, they don't understand what Christianity is. Sin is personal and so is salvation. You can't just say, well, we're a Christian town, we're a Christian nation, we can be established on Christian principles, and we were without controversy for anybody that's honest and honestly studies history. But listen, that doesn't mean everybody's a Christian. You have to personally receive Christ, personally repent and turn your life to Christ to become a Christian. So the death of cultural Christianity is not a bad thing. That is a good thing. As Adrian Rogers used to say, the worst form of badness is human goodness when that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. And we don't need people to just pretend to be moral on the outside. We need people to be true and genuine on the inside and really give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. So that is the good news. The death of cultural Christianity, so the real Christians can shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for them and how he's had mercy on them. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about this subject, how do we live in a Romans 1 world? How do we raise a family in a world that's becoming increasingly wicked? Where evil is good and good is evil and everything is upside down. We're going to give you practical advice from the Scripture, instruction from the Scripture on how to do that. And then I'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did you know that over 62 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade? Every single one of these babies' lives was dear and precious. Why isn't the world declaring these babies as lost? Here's Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, introducing women considering abortion to their precious preborn baby. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. To find out more, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about this subject, how do we live as believers, as Christians, how do we live in a Romans 1 world, in a Romans 1 society where we have, as a society, rejected God, and God has given us over to sexual perversion and to social perversion, and we're seeing the fruit of the seeds we have sown. Hey, you know, those who sow to the flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. I like that phrase from Dr. Phil. How's that working for you? You don't want to honor God. You don't want to give him thanks. You don't want to put him first. You don't want to fear the Lord. Okay. Well, God says, well, if you don't want me, I'll just step back and let you have it. How's that working for you? Our whole society is crumbling from within, and it goes back, really, if you want to just pinpoint it, there's no fear of God before the people. My friend Tom Askell, who ran for president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he said, what is needed in the Southern Baptist Convention? It's for us to get back to the fear of the Lord, to recognize that God is God and we're not God, and we serve him. He doesn't serve us, and we need to conduct our lives in truth and honesty and sincerity because we fear God. We have respect and reverence for God. The conclusion, when all has been heard, Solomon said, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every creature. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So how do we live in this society? And if you're a parent and you have kids in the home, young kids in the home, if you're not careful, you can get scared and fearful about this world. Some people say, well, I don't want to have children because I don't want to bring them in such a place, such a world. Well, that's not a biblical viewpoint. God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And it's good that God's people have children. And so this is what we said about the post-Christian culture that we live. The good news, the cultural Christianity has gone away or is going away in most places. So that is a good thing, because Christians, you can't just, as Constantine did in Rome, just declare, you know, this is going to be a Christian empire. That doesn't work. Christianity is a personal decision. So that's the good news. We are able to separate who the real Christians are from the pretenders. Here's the challenging news, though. So you have good news, but you have challenging news. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, which we are living, Paul talked about the last days to Timothy. If he was living in the last days in the 60s A.D., we're living in the last of the last days here in 2022. In the last days, difficult times will come. Well, difficult times are here. And it's going to get difficult. The Lord is not trying to sugarcoat the fact that you and I are living in difficult times, and it's going to be difficult for the believer who stands up for Jesus. Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And yea, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So what does that mean for a Christian in our day and time, where good is called evil and evil is called good? Well, you can lose your job for practicing your religious liberty, for praying, as the football coach lost his job, but then was vindicated by the Supreme Court. You can lose your job for not getting vaccinated, even though you say, hey, this is a violation of my religious liberty, of my conviction before God. You can still lose your job. If you don't celebrate gay pride in June, you can be ostracized and vilified and cast aside and canceled. You get applauded and championed for telling the world that you are embracing your quote-unquote true identity as a transgendered person, and everybody will cheer you and they will vote for you to be the woman of the year. Isn't that insane? The courageous award that they gave to Bruce Jenner, who now calls himself Caitlyn Jenner. The world applauds the evil. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's what we do. And so trying to navigate those waters where good is called evil and evil is called good is difficult. Erwin Lutzer wrote a book, The Church in Babylon. And that's what we have today. And we can learn a lot from the book of Daniel on how to live in a pagan, non-Christian, post-Christian, anti-Christian world. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, made such an impact because they were in a dark place and they shined the light of the Lord in that dark place. And they had an impact. So let's talk about how we are to live. Number one, live in awareness. Be aware of what is going on around you. Be aware of what is happening in our government, what is happening in the school system, especially if you have kids that are school age. Be aware. Be aware of what is being taught. And then stand up and be counted in school board meetings like the parents did in Loudoun County, Virginia. We can make a difference. Listen, so we have to live in awareness like the sons of Issachar. They understood the times and what Israel should do. So be aware, live in awareness. Number two, get involved and vote for candidates who will uphold biblical values. Some people say, well, I don't want to be political, and, you know, America has nothing, the Bible has nothing to do with America, God's kingdom is not of this world, and America is not in Scripture. I get all that. But I like what Bishop E.W. Jackson said. He said, you know, America is my home. Pete Buttigieg said, how would you describe America in one word? He said, home. Well, America's where we live. That's our country. That's our home. And land that I love. And Bishop E.W. Jackson said, you know, it's not wrong for us to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not wrong to pray that God would bless our homes. Well, America's our home. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so we need to get involved in what's going on locally, what's going on a regional basis, what's going on in a national basis. And we need to vote. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, our Caesar is our government. And what does our government, how is it set up? What does it want from its people? It wants us to be involved. It wants us to vote. As Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, our government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's how it was established. And we do have a voice as a republic, and we can make a difference. So get involved. Maybe you run for office. Maybe you run for school board. You're going to be involved. You're going to take a stand for righteousness. Stand up for Jesus and his word and his will and his ways, ye soldiers of the cross. And say with Joshua, for your own home and for America, your home, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, we have in America where people who do evil don't seem to get punished for it. Hunter Biden, how in the world is that guy still walking free? How is nobody taking an interest, other than believers, taking an interest in what was on his laptop? As Isaiah said, woe to those who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. And we're seeing that in spades today. Why do we not know who Miss Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's paramour, how do we not know the names of the people that went to Pedophile Island? How are those people not prosecuted for their crimes? We live in an upside down world, so we need to get involved, we need to vote, we need to be aware, and most importantly, how do we live in this upside down world? We need to be praying and living in the light. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about this, and Peter kind of answers the question, how then should we live? Because he says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Why is Jesus delaying, by our perspective, delaying his coming? He's not wishing for any to perish. You know, if Jesus had come back in 1979, I would have missed it because I came to Christ in 1980. I'm so glad the Lord didn't come back in 1979. He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, and he's patient toward you and toward me. But then he says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. I mean, it's going to come when you least expect it, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So God wants us to be holy in our conduct and to be godly, to shine. You know, I use these two words a lot, to shine Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, to shine and to share. Share what? Share the gospel. Share what Jesus has done in your life. Be a witness. That's our purpose. You just boil it down. Why am I here on the earth for such a time as this? To be a witness, to shine, to share, to stand up for Jesus, to be bold, to be a watchman on the wall, to sound the alarm and let people know that, hey, evil is coming in like a flood. And especially as it relates to the church, certain men, Jude says, have crept in unnoticed. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness, into a license to sin and deny the only master, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be on the lookout, and things are happening in the religious world. As I'm a Southern Baptist, a Southern Baptist church, seeing things drift to the left and shift and move to the left, it's very alarming. And we need faithful men who stand up for the word and say, hey, this is wrong. And we're not going to be silent about this, because God has called us to stand up and to be counted. I love this quote I saw on Twitter from my friend Tom Buck, who's pastor at First Baptist in Lindale, Texas, right outside of Tyler. He said, "The church does the most for the world when it's least like the world." And I responded to that with 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. "Come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord." That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. As Peter said, in holy conduct and godliness. Hey, the world is going to hate us. Jesus said, if it hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus is love in the flesh, and they nailed him to a tree. Don't believe the lies that you hear from some preachers that say, well, if we were just more like Jesus, we would be so winsome with the world. They hated Jesus. Men love the darkness more than the light, for their deeds are evil. When you call people to repentance, when you say that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, that ruffles their feathers. They don't like that. How dare you call me a sinner? That is the attitude. And the Holy Spirit, what does he? Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. We have the largest church in America. The pastor clearly says, we don't talk about sin because we don't want to make people feel bad. Well, you're not in sync with the Holy Spirit then, because he comes to convict the world of sin. And if you never talk about sin, that's like the cancer doctor. Well, I never talk about cancer. Well, good night. You never talk about cancer. You never tell your patients, this person that comes to you for help that is racked with cancer, you never want to tell them, hey, here's the real story. You have cancer, and unless you have chemotherapy and surgery, you're going to die. You don't tell them that? How you are asleep on the job. You're not doing what you've been called to do. Listen, a church, I tell our church all the time, we are a hospital for sick people. And they come to us, and we go out to them, and we tell them the truth so that they can get better. God forbid that the church becomes a hospice. A hospice is way different than a hospital. What's the difference? A hospital will hurt you. You undergo surgery or some kind of treatment or something. It will hurt you to get you better. Hospice just drugs you to make you comfortable until you die. And so many churches are becoming hospice centers. We're just going to tell you things that you want to hear. We're going to make you feel good until you die and go to hell forever. God forbid at First Baptist Texarkana that we would ever do that. We always want to speak the truth in love. Well, we will be taking your calls on this next segment. 888-589-8840. We're talking about the culture. We're talking about how are we to live in a Romans 1 society. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And let's talk about this, because this is very important. Maybe you have a question about how do I navigate these waters? How specifically can I work through this situation, this difficulty at work or at school? Let's talk about that, and let's see what God has to say. Don't go away.
It's the last place I thought my kids would be exposed to sexual orientation. Disney decided to be politically correct with Lightyear rather than make a family movie about a beloved character. They should stick to entertaining instead of pushing this agenda. It's no accident. Young children are exposed to this issue and others much too early. You can urge Disney to stick to family entertainment when you sign the petition regarding Lightyear at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Telling Bibleless persecuted believers no, that's one of the hardest things we do at Bible League. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth, and I want to give you an update on our campaign, Stand With Them. You know, Paul wrote, the persecuted, they may be persecuted, but they're not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You know, for weeks we've been telling you about Christians who are praying for Bibles in order to endure and persevere. Ahmad is in Malaysia. He's a civil engineer, was beaten. When he came to Christ, he's praying for a Bible. Adesh is in Nepal. He's a tour guide near the Himalayan mountains. He was beaten, but he's praying for a Bible in the Nepalese language. And then Einar is in Zimbabwe. She's a widowed mother of three. Her husband was killed by the Boko Haram regime. She's not praying for an end to her suffering. She's praying for a Bible. We're in the final few days of this effort to send God's word to 16,000 Bible-less persecuted believers. We're short of this goal, and we need to wrap up in the coming days. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.com. SendBiblesNow.org.
If you haven't switched to MediShare yet, two big reasons to at least consider it and why it makes so much sense right now. Number one's inflation, which is just affecting everything. It makes sense to say, okay, where can I actually save? Well, you could save a lot in one fell swoop if you switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month. Secondly, your conscience. MediShare members aren't forced to pay for things they don't support or believe in, and that's a big deal for a lot of people right now. They want their money to actually help people. And one more reason, you can trust MediShare. It's been the gold standard for healthcare sharing for more than 25 years. It works, and members love it too. It has double the customer satisfaction rating compared to health insurance. So now's a great time to consider making the switch, and they're very easy to talk to. MediShare has great customer service. You can even get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about how do we live as Christians in a Romans 1 world, in a Romans 1 society. Hey, the church is truly in Babylon today, and how are we to function in this world where evil is called good and good is called evil? Well, as we said, we are to, very practically, we are to live in awareness. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. We're to run everything through the grid of the Word of God and to be discerning. As the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And remember this too. Our government is lying to us on so many fronts. it would be very foolish to just take everything they say. You can listen to what was said over the course of the last 2 years, a year and a half or so, about COVID. And they tell you this definitively and then that definitively and the other, and all this stuff contradicts President Biden. You can't get COVID if you've been vaccinated. Well, that's just a lie. And we don't know what the COVID vaccine will do to a person down the road. We know that it's causing some people to have myocarditis, some people to die of heart attacks and create strokes and all sorts of other things. But that's not getting reported. So we need to judge with righteous judgment. And the naive believes everything, the book of Proverbs says. So we don't need to be naive. And we need to get involved, and we need to vote, and we need to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And America is the land that we love. It is the home that God has given us. It is our country. And so, as I mentioned, Bishop E.W. Jackson said, there's nothing wrong with wanting your home to be a place where God is extolled and worshiped and honored, and to return to His will, His way, and His word. And so we get involved that way, and we vote, and we run for office, and we do the things that we need to do to make a difference in our communities and beyond. And then we're praying, and we're living in the light. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is such a famous passage of scripture, such a famous text. And if my people who are called by my name, God says, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We have to get right as individual believers. We have to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. We can't say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, because then the Lord says we lie and do not practice the truth. We become hypocrites, and a hypocrite is totally just horrible as a witness, and you become such a turnoff to an unbeliever if they see hypocrisy in your life. People don't expect you to be perfect, because you're not. I'm not. We're not. But they expect you to be genuine, and they expect you, if you say this is the way, walk in it, that you yourself are striving to walk in it. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God's people, the remnant that love the Lord, that are genuine and true, we can make a difference, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made a difference in Babylon so many years ago. Well, I'm taking your calls in this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840, and we have Anthony on the line from North Carolina. Anthony, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I got a question concerning if the church leaders, pastors, whatever their title is, do not stand and preach against sin, how can the people that are under him do anything other than, you know, just follow what they say in most cases?
Yes. Are you in a church like that?
Yes, sir. The leaders don't preach against sin.
Have you brought that to their attention?
Yes.
How do they respond?
Oh, they kick me out.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Man. Well, hats off to you, Anthony, for letting them know and for bringing that to them. You know, that's all that you can do. We need to have, churches need to be places where they're an oasis of truth and love, those two things, because Jesus was full of grace and truth. We need both grace and truth. We don't need to be heavy on grace, light on truth. We don't need to be heavy on truth, light on grace. We need both of those, and we need to speak the truth in love. And, it's the cancer doctor illustration. If you don't tell people, here is your situation, and here is what you need, and if you don't get this treatment, you're going to die, you're not helping people, and you're really not loving them. Because real love says, hey, you have, this is the real score, this is your situation, but there is a remedy found in Jesus Christ. And if you will repent and put your faith and trust in him, you can be saved. And we need to talk about sin. Ray Comfort was on the program a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, he's got the way of the master. What's the way of the master to witness? You use the law. Because the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. You use the law to show people that they're sinners before God and they desperately need to be saved. They're hopeless, helpless sinners who can only find salvation in Jesus Christ. So, Anthony, I would just encourage you to find a church that stands up for Jesus, that preaches the whole counsel of God, that is not afraid to call people out and to share the truth and to let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. Find a place that is 2 Timothy chapter 4 that preaches the word, that reproves, rebukes, and exhorts with great patience and instruction. And I know that's not fun when you have to leave your church or you get booted out of your church, but there's not a lot of recourse past that. You don't want to go on a campaign to try and get people to leave the church. I would just encourage you to go to another place where they do hold up the banner of God. All right. So thank you for anything else you'd like to mention?
No, that was just my issue. It's getting worse, like 2 Timothy 3. You know, just lawlessness, and they're just, you know, as a whole, churches as well as the world pretty much are just doing whatever feels good to them. And if you say anything, you're the bad guy. And I know it's the Bible being fulfilled. I know that, you know,
right.
But you're just trying to reach out to as many people as possible. But it's just getting harder and harder for people to accept truth.
Right. It sure is. I appreciate you calling today, Anthony, and God bless you as you find a place where the Lord wants you to be. Well, we have Wayne from West Virginia on the line. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, I want to comment on your show. I don't get to listen to you a lot, but so far I really like it.
Well, thank you.
I like your stance on sin. But my comment on your comment, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, America is the most Christian nation in the world, so I think that's us. We'll humble themselves and pray. Everyone wants to save America, but nobody wants to pray. But the key is we'll turn from their wicked ways, you know, adultery, fornication, gay marriage, murder of babies, living off the government when you can work. Nobody wants to do that. I believe we've got some real patriots in America that would give their life to save America, but they will not give up their lifestyle to save America. Mm. And that's all I have.
Yeah, but that's, Wayne, what a great way to say it. And you're exactly right. So and until we as God's people will get honest about where we are before the Lord and will repent and turn from our wicked ways, from our self-righteousness, from our pride, from our pet sins, whatever they might be, then it's never going to make a difference because God says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin and heal your land if you will do these things. But if you don't, then you're going to get swept away in judgment. I think about the people of Nineveh when Jonah reluctantly preached there. Well, what did they do? They responded to the word of God. They responded to the judgment and they humbled themselves and they called upon the Lord and they sought his face and God relented from the disaster he said he was going to bring upon them and he did not do it. And surprisingly, Jonah was upset about it. So great comment, Wayne. Thank you for calling in today. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Connie from New England. Is it no N-E? What is N-E? Nebraska? Connie, are you there?
I am. Good morning. So nice to meet you on the radio. I just want to share something. It's a little statement taking from Arthur Pink's book that it told the depravity of man, and I hope that maybe this will help people. This is what he says in a sentence. He who makes no conscience of sin has no regard for the honor of God and consequently none for his being. Now here's the deal. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's Proverbs 16:6. I would encourage people to take that to memory. And then he says, it clearly follows that in the absence of any awe of him, they rush into evil. So every sin is an invading of the rights of God. So I just wanted to share that because that scripture verse has helped me so much. And I just share that with people that by the fear of God, men depart from evil. So Amen. That's Proverbs 16:6.
Amen. That's a great word. Thank you, Connie, and thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. Well, we have Shirley from Tennessee on the line. Shirley, welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show. I just want to inspire everybody this. Number one, if your preacher or the preachers around you are not preaching a word, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where the Lord said that that they are the only ones who can preach the word. And I don't know when we as a generation move to that. We people are all commissioned. Go ye all into the world and preach the real gospel. Tell everybody what Jesus said, that he lives, he is risen from the dead, and he's coming back for somebody. So make yourself ready to be the one he comes back for. And number two, I wanted to say that we can see all the evil around us, and we need to stop all these church divisions, but we're doing it anyway. I think we're slowly moving there. But those who are true Christians who really love the Lord, those people need to come together, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever. It don't matter. I don't even cast out Jehovah's Witnesses, even though they may not believe as me. I want to know, do you know that Christ Jesus, Son of God, equal God, Lord and Savior, and do you know that you're going to stand on his word, even to die for it? Our military is being decimated. We got all these shots around here that people don't believe in. We need to stand on the word, like you said, going back to 2 Chronicles. If my people, who are called by my name, us, get rid of your sin, quit living with folk you ain't married to and all that, then humble yourself and pray. Seek his face. He's going to heal this land. And I was praying, Lord, send us an army, thinking about our military. And the Lord said, oh, I got an army for you, and it's coming from heaven. So trust the Lord. Keep the Sabbath holy. We Seventh-day Adventists believe it's the seventh day, and that's what the Lord shows us in Scripture. Hey, if you don't understand that or what have you, let's just keep the Lord first and pray and read his holy word and seek his faith. Jesus will reveal all things, and stop looking for the pastor to be the only one preaching.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your fire. And we need to keep Jesus number one. That is exactly right. Seek him first in his face, and he will provide for us as we do that, as we shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for us. So thank you for calling in. We have Sonny from Arkansas on the line. Sonny, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning, Jeff. This is Sonny. I was just going to carry on with what Shirley was saying there, that a few years ago we were looking at maybe starting the church, and they had all the plan up there to how to start it and what to do. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, in order to have a New Testament church, you must have some New Testament Christians. And it just occurred to me that if we had a basketball team with everybody was Larry Bird, we'd have quite a team. Anyway, I just thought that was a neat thing that the Lord showed me that, and I know that's what y'all do, and that's what you prepare people to do with this program and with your ministry. But if people would just take heed, like Shirley said, and everybody realize they're the minister, and they can go places you can't go, and that's
right.
Just something that we need to take heed. And I want to make a point too. I'm old, but I still raising grandkids, and we listen to you on the way to school. And I just appreciate your sharing the gospel and how to become a Christian every morning.
Well, thank you, Sonny.
That's just something to, you know, remember. And I know you do it anyway, but a lot of people can take that opportunity to listen to you on the way to school every morning.
Amen. Thank you, Sonny. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for calling in. I'm sorry we can't get to Charles and Kenneth. We are out of time. But you've been listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And so how do we live in this world? We come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We don't participate in their sins. We are salt and light in a lost and dying world. God has given you a mission field, and so shine and share and let God use you this day, and pray, and God will answer, because he loves his children and he's promised to answer us. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.